الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل هو الله أحد سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم I was thinking about a topic that is a continuation from last week, but as I was sitting here, something else sort of came up in my mind, so I'll share that with you. And then somebody remind me next week to just continue with the topic that we've been discussing. Maybe there's some continuity here, but I wanted to say something different. So obviously one of the things that has been weighing heavily on our minds is we're trying to complete this masjid project. I know everybody here is aware of that project. And as we progress in that project, there's different stages that you have to sort of like go through. And as you proceed through each stage, you have items that you have to complete. So, you know, I mean, before you can put the windows in, you need to do A, B, and C. Before you can put the brick in, you need to do A, B, and C. Before you can put the floors in, you need to do A, B, and C. So this is just sort of like a perpetual list, because every time you complete one thing, the new task comes before you. So one of the things that we've been working on recently is that before you can close the walls, so closing the walls means, you know, you can look at the walls here, you see that there's these sheets, what they call drywall. So before you can put the drywall, one of the very important things that has to occur is that you have to do this step, which is called blocking. Blocking basically means that you have to think in your mind, what might you hang something heavy? Where in the building, or where on the walls, anywhere, in any building, by home, and you do this in homes as well, in a building, where do you intend to hang something heavy? And wherever you think or intend that you might hang something heavy, what you have to do is you have to take a strong piece of wood, and you have to put it, you know, running this way, running horizontally, in between the structural supports, which are called studs. So you put them, or you put these pieces of wood horizontally. And the idea there is that you can't just take something heavy and just stick it on this drywall, because this drywall is made out of a relatively soft material. It's not soft, it's relatively soft. And so if you try to take something heavy and hang it on this drywall, it only has a certain capacity to hold a certain weight. It has a capacity to hold a certain weight. And that heavy object can just fall from the wall if it's not anchored to something that's much more stable. So you have to sit there and you walk through the building. And we do this like regularly. And even on the phone, when we're there and we say, okay, a monitor might get hung here, or a bookshelf might get put here, or maybe the stair railing is going to get connected here, or maybe one day we might want to put something on the wall over here. And then what we do is we take this blue tape and we run around and we stick this tape on all these various areas of the building, so that when the carpenter comes the next day, he can what we call, quote unquote, block those areas. Now, I mean, that's a typical construction, and it happens in a home, it happens in a commercial building, it happens in the masajid, etc. The why I'm sharing this with you is because I was just thinking about this blocking, because I spent so much time, you know, like thinking about blocking. Like I literally spent like half the day today just thinking about, there's this one area in the building where we have this sink, and I was just like trying to figure out like, how is this going to work? So as I was thinking about this blocking, I was thinking, you know, subhanAllah, there's so much emphasis placed on this blocking in any construction. I mean, it's not like a huge thing, but there's emphasis placed on it, and we're certainly put a lot of emphasis on it because we really want everything to be really, you know, stable and solid. But sometimes we don't realize in our own lives that if we want to hang something big, we have to block it. You know, if we in our lives, and I'm talking about our lives now, as we construct our lives, so we're not constructing buildings, you know, every day, but we're constructing our lives every day. If we want to hang something big, it becomes important that we block it so that our lives can actually support that. For example, you know, I'll give you a simple example. In fiqh, they say that the depth of salah is built on the perfection of wudu. It's actually a hadith, not these words, but this principle comes from a hadith that a person who wants to achieve depth in their salah, they have to build it on wudu. So what does that mean? It means that, I mean, in one way you can say that if a person wants to hang a salah, it has to be blocked with wudu. So wudu becomes very important for any person that is attempting to erect their salah. And when people want to ask the question, or when we ask the question, I would like to improve my salah, how can I improve my salah? Well, if every time I hang my salah, it falls down, and I'm not able to maintain it consistently or with a consistent depth, then maybe I need to block behind it so that I can attain that consistency and that depth. And the mechanism by which we block behind salah is wudu. So that's why the people, the mashayikh, and the people of understanding, when someone comes to them and says, I'm having difficulty focusing in my wudu, in my salah, I'm having difficulty developing depth in my salah, one of the advices that they give is to attain a deep state of purity, particularly in wudu. Because wudu is the blocking that allows us to hang a heavy salah without it collapsing. And this is just one example. But I can say that even more, even globally, even beyond, you know, the topic of wudu and salah, in these discussions that we've been having over the past few weeks, and we're talking historically about people who did some very amazing things. They hung some really heavy history. You know, they really nailed some heavy history on the wall of time. The people who came before us, like, you know, as I was driving here, I was just thinking that, like, that Ottoman Empire, that lasted for 700-800 years. And I mean, it still exists today as Turkey. And still there, I mean, you know, it's impressive. It's not disappeared. But the Ottoman Empire and the history that we've been sharing, you know, concerning the Ottoman Empire, I was just thinking that this is like, it's not like a 50-year thing or a 10-year thing, or, you know, it's not even like a 100-year thing. It's a 500, 700, 800-year empire, which still, you know, the remnants of which still stand till today. And the reason that these people were able to achieve what they achieved was because they didn't build on, you know, just empty drywall. They were really firmly blocked in their tradition. And what was that blocking? That blocking was, you know, obviously the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the deen of Islam, the love of Allah. And not only that, but even beyond that, the way of the prophets, of every prophet that came before them. That's a serious blocking. That's a serious structural stability upon which these people stood. And that's why you look at what they were able to achieve, and it's just mind-boggling. It's mind-boggling. And it's because they were able to, because they had something of substance behind them. Now, there's various layers of blocking that are required. So maybe there's foundation, and then there's like the blocking. But, you know, they were standing on a foundation, and then they had a tradition upon which they attached themselves, and they brought that to life. This is something that, unfortunately, we in this day and age, we often forget. we're so quick to want to do things, but we don't recognize that you can't just stick anything anywhere. There has to be support behind it. And there has to be a foundation and a tradition upon which it's built. And if we don't appreciate that, all we end up doing is hanging something, but it has no stability and it can very quickly fall. So this is one of the wisdoms of the people before us. Like I said, or as we've been sharing over the past several weeks, that the people who eventually the Ottoman Empire, which, you know, like as we've mentioned, you know, took Constantinople, and eventually, you know, that was a huge victory at that time. They didn't just come up with that idea. They didn't just decide one day that this is what we want to do. This was established in hadith from the time of Rasulullah ﷺ, and then the companions and the companions' efforts. And as I mentioned, you know, a few weeks back, the companions were buried at the walls of Constantinople, even, you know, shortly after the time of Rasulullah ﷺ. And these people were building on that tradition, and were committed to that tradition, and were committed to achieving along those lines. That's what allowed them to achieve the great heights that they achieved. Now, we rush to do things, but we don't think about where they should be placed or making sure that they're properly reinforced. For example, one very common example, we as people like to try to do things very quickly, but we don't necessarily have the stability of ibadah behind us. We want to achieve things, we want to like be something, we want to attack something on the wall, but we don't recognize that there has to be ibadah that supports that. And ibadah is like the blocking for good deeds. Ibadah is like the blocking for good deeds. When a person has ibadah, that's what allows a person to be able to achieve stability in the efforts that they make in the realm of good deeds. So this is something that we have to think about more globally. When we have a routine, for example, our routine of dhikr, istighfar, salawat, etc., this is like a blocking that we hang on to. This is what allows us to be able to hang, okay, I want to take this sunnah and I want to hang it up here in my life. I want to take this good deed and I want to hang it up here in my life. I want to take the ability to avoid envy, okay? I want to take the ability to avoid, you know, ill will towards another person. These are all very heavy pieces of almost like, you know, pieces of deen. And we want to raise them in our lives and we want to place them on display for both this life and the Day of Judgment. But they don't just hang on empty walls. They don't just hang on an empty, you know, on a shell, put it that way. They don't hang on a shell. A servant, a Muslim, you know, a believer, has to have ibadah that allows a foundation upon which things are built. And we've shared this many times before in the past, particularly when we used to do the hadith sessions, that, like I've said, that ibadah is like a potential energy. Ibadah is like a potential energy. It has to be converted into the kinetics of good deeds, which basically means that ibadah is a fuel that allows a person to be able to move forward in their deeds. It allows a person to be able to assess where they're at, to think about the additional deeds that they want to do, and to slowly tack those onto the wall of life. Without it, it's empty. And we see this all the time. Everybody get excited about something. I'm going to do this. I heard about it. We tack it up and it just falls. I heard about not having any bad feelings towards anybody in my heart, and it sounds really good, and that's what I want to do, and I never want to hold a grudge against anybody. So we tack this thing up, and within 2 days, it falls on the floor. But the reason that it's falling on the floor is because there's no blocking behind it. So maybe the easier way to say this is that as we aim to achieve, as we aim to achieve things in our lives, and we aim to hang things on our wall of life, we have to think not only about the deed itself, but we need to think about the blocking that's necessary to structurally support that deed. Now, we don't call it structurally, in Suluk we call it spiritually, but that spiritual foundation is necessary for a person to be able to thrive in their deeds. So when the goal is not in and of itself that I sit and I do a particular set of ibadah. I can have a routine. I can decide that I'm going to do A, B, and C, and that's going to be my routine. But the challenge that arises when a person then faces others. When a person has to make sacrifices to favor somebody else over themselves. When a person has to remain silent in the face of adversity. When a person has to remain patient in the face of adversity. So all of this is dependent on the foundation of ibadah that lies behind it. And this is what the people of success in the past, they thought about doing crazy things that, you know, in the sense that you would look at what they were saying and you would say, how is this possible? A bunch of tribal peoples thinking that they're going to, you know, one day conquer Constantinople when they themselves are migrating from one enemy and returning to another enemy. No one in their wildest dreams would ever imagine that these people would ever have the ability to conquer Constantinople. But they had a tradition. They tied it into the Sunnah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It was built on a balance of ibadah and deeds. And eventually, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala accepted their humility, sacrifice, commitment, and granted them that. Despite the fact that if we had to sit down and historically say how it would have occurred, it would have never come to our mind that those would be the people that would have done it. So this is a lesson for us. It's just one more lesson for us. That we, as we aim to achieve things in life, we should build it upon something stable. As we aim to achieve things in life, we should build it on something stable. You know, another piece of advice that our Mashayikh give that's just popping in my head right now is that sometimes people ask the question, how can I maintain my routine? Or I'm having trouble maintaining my routine. So one of the pieces of advice that the Mashayikh give is that when we want to build a routine, we should attach the new deeds to old. Essentially, it's like blocking. So what are they saying? For example, person says that, I would like to have a routine of 5 minutes of Quran every day. So this is a new intention that they made. I'd like to hang this up on my wall of deeds. 5 minutes of Quran daily. So rather than say that, well, I'm just going to wake up and I'm going to do 5 minutes of Quran daily at random times, where there's no stability, there's nothing to hang it onto. Instead, the Mashayikh, they say, make an intention to do 5 minutes, to interact with the Quran for 5 minutes daily after something that already exists in our lives. For example, they'll question usually. They'll say, okay, well, this is your intention. What do you do? Tell me your routine. Okay, you said that you go to the masjid for Isha every day. Excellent. Make a new intention that after Isha, I will not leave the masjid until I finish my 5 minutes of Quran. Now, when a person does that, instead of thinking about randomly placing something on their wall of deeds, they actually tack that deed onto something that already has stability. And it's that blocking, right, that aggregate stability that eventually allows a person to be able to achieve the next level of development in their life. So this is, and by the way, this is also, the reverse is also true. The reverse is also true. Don't take something that's already blocked and put it in another place when it's already stable. For example, and everybody can experience this. You know, if a person has a habit of praying witr salah after Isha, okay, they'll pray witr salah after Isha. But if they, one day after Isha, say, you know, I'm going to quickly go take care of this. I'm going to go and I'm going to do a few things. I have to run to the grocery store. When I come home, I'll pray witr. It's very difficult to pray witr salah in that way. And that's the time that the witr salah gets missed. When a person takes it off some structurally stable routine and tries to place it in another place where you don't have that same, where we don't have that same stability. And if people tell you, or if somebody says, I missed my witr salah, it's probably because they didn't attach it to Isha. And if a person says, I'm consistent to my witr salah, it's usually because that person prays it right after Isha. And you'll see it's the habit of most people to pray it, even in the masjid, right after Isha salah. They just attach their witr right there. So again, this principle pops up in different circumstances in our deen, whether you look at it at an individual level, at an ibadah level, at a good deed level, at a community level, at a historic level. This is just a global principle for us, which is that we should appreciate that as we want to add deeds, we want to make sure that we place them in the appropriate location so that they're stably attached. That will then allow us to be able to maintain our routines or build our routines or preserve our routines. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to be able to remain connected to the pious people of the past, and may He allow us to be able to place things appropriately in our lives as we develop in our deen. وآخر الدعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين